Today someone handed me an envelope, and I thought I knew what was in the envelope, and when I opened it, it turned out that I guessed right. There were, I didn't know how many pieces, but there were three pieces of paper, and they made me so happy, those three pieces of paper. You probably won't be able to guess what they were. They were not $100 bills. I think this made me happier than $300 bills would make me. Wow. You want to get an envelope like that, right? Well, they were staff applications for 2014, numbers 171, 172, and 173 for this summer thus far. And as I looked them over, I saw the names of three people. One is already on the staff, and two are coming, I believe, to work with us yet as the summer goes by. And I just thought of the desire that God put in those three hearts to be here and to serve Him with us. And somehow my heart rejoiced. I read, you know, about how they found out about camp. These were all first-timers, or at least they had to fill out that section. I think if you haven't been here in a certain amount of time, you have to fill it out again. And so how did you get in touch with the camp? When did you first know the Lord as your Savior, and so on. And I was reading, and my heart was just rejoicing. And I was so thankful for the way the Lord sends people our way, and we can serve Him together here. And that made me think that I owe Him a debt of gratitude. Just thank you, Lord, for supplying the need of workers all summer long so far. And I thank you for the ones that you've sent here and that we could work together for you. And I pray that you'll bless these three. I pray that you will fill them with the joy that we have in serving you, and give them a fresh experience with you as they join us here, or as one who already is here and who filled out his application after he arrived. But I just was so thankful, and I just want to say thank you tonight as this period is drawing to a close to all of you who have been serving this period. Thank you. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. And it's wonderful to be together with all of you tonight, you staffers and guests, and just to be in the Lord's presence, to know that His eye is upon us, to know that He is for us, to know that even tonight He speaks to our hearts, He wants to change us. He wants to bless us as we are His people. To hear the things that we've already heard, that's a great blessing. Great blessing. Brother Paul and Sister Mary Ann, they reminded me of the Apostle Paul, who said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched woman that you are. who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord." Isn't that a great testimony? He had an ongoing struggle. Everyone does. But he found the victory. And the victory is in Jesus. And we come to Jesus. And His blood cleanses us from all sin. And He forgives us, and He blesses us. And as we look to Him, He gives us the victory. We heard about the victory Was that this morning? I guess that was, I wasn't in meeting last night. It must have been this morning. In 1 Samuel. And isn't that a wonderful story? And I quoted from At the Name of Jesus this morning. And as Brother Ernie, that was before he spoke, but as he spoke, I remembered the verse, "In your hearts enthrone him. There let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its light and power." You bow before Jesus and you say, "Jesus, you are my only hope." And Paul found out, "Who shall deliver me? I used to think everything was right. Before I met Jesus, I thought everything was fine. I was the best of the best. There was nothing wrong. I knew the law. And now that same law, he was alive unto God, and that same law was condemning him. And somehow that struggle within him became aware of it. And it was such a frustrating and difficult thing for him. He testifies that he found the way and the only way. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I'm thankful for the help that God has for us, the forgiveness. When Brother Ernie was speaking, I thought of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts." I think that's the right emphasis there. I know in different translations we have trespasses and sins, but it's good to think of those sins as debts. I think that's what Jesus was teaching his disciples and teaching us, that we have failed to pay our debts. Our outstanding debt to him of loving him with all our heart, soul, and strength and mind, we haven't done it. So Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. And give us grace that we might pay those debts. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And it's by his grace that we can even do that. But we come to him, and we're so thankful that he is a forgiving, a pardoning God. I'm thankful for the Brother Paul referred to our devotional, which was about, or it's on the subject of the Apostles' Creed this summer, our staff devotional. I like the Apostles' Creed very much. Is the Apostles' Creed an evangelical sermon? No, it's not. Who is the Apostles' Creed for anyway? It is for those who know and love Jesus, who have come to faith in him already. They are affirming what they believe. That's what this is about. And it helps us to be strong in faith when we consider these things. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And for each day we had some scripture reading. In Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Isn't that a wonderful thing to believe? And to think of Jesus there, exalted in the highest place that heaven affords, to see him there, to count on him there, to know that he is appearing in the presence of God for me. And because he is there, he is here with us in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We sang about that right at the beginning of the meeting. Oh, behold the man of sorrows. Oh, behold him in plain view. Lo, he is the mighty conqueror, since he rent the veil in two. And he's coming again, the next phrase. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I hope you believe in all of those things. We separated them into these phrases and considered them. And today's is, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And I mean, I'm glad I don't have to, I wasn't here on Tuesday. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I do. But it's confusing, and they always have to explain that to us, that it doesn't mean capital C, but it's small c. I believe in the universal church. Those who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who love him. And that church is united, isn't it? These are true saints who have been called to holiness and are holy. And they're united, and they're, what does it say in that song? One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. And let's see, today's the forgiveness of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe this is from Samuel Stone, the writer of The Church's One Foundation, that hymn, and he says, I believe that all are under sin and therefore subject to the penalty of eternal punishment, that the Son of God gave himself to ransom and release us, and because without shedding of blood is no remission, he gave his life a sacrifice for sin and shed his precious blood as the price of propitiation. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Perhaps you read that today. By the way, I think some of you have seen this book. This is the devotional book. Anybody seen this before? Oh, yeah, good, Sean. He's been here a while. And you too. But now the next question, anybody ever read any? Maybe you. I held this up. You saw Pilgrim Camp, so 2014. Anybody read anything inside this book yet this summer? Anybody? Anybody do that? Oh, good. Glad to know it. There's a lot of blessing in here, and I'm glad. I know Brother Paul did. He testified to having read about the forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. And I believe this book can be a great blessing to you. You staffers have this and can take it home and look at it again and read those scriptures and think about what you believe. The things, the great truths, the doctrines of the Word of God. I believe, I believe, I believe. So, Lord, I want to pray for all these precious staffers who are here now. And I want to thank you for this service that they render to you each day. And working hard, faithfully serving you and all of us here, and of course, especially our campers. Lord, we thank you for the way you are served here, and the interests of your kingdom are advanced here through these who give themselves to work for you. And I pray that you will keep that in their hearts, Lord, as we go from this place. Help us to continue to serve you, to give our lives to you, to worship you in spirit and in truth every day, and to be wholly, wholly yours. Oh, Lord, help us, we pray. Help us as we go to just lay claim to the moving of your Spirit in our lives and all the blessings that you have for us. And help us not to forget the things that we've heard during the time that we're here, and help that we've been here, and help us to put them into practice, we pray, for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Now I'd like to sing with you, if you don't mind, and then just look at a few passages of Scripture that say something about the forgiveness of sins. And I have a song here. By the way, if you have your book with you, don't take a song, because it's in here in the middle, in the center fold, okay, if you have it. But I wonder if I can have a couple people help me distribute these. Thank you. Maybe three sections, right? You want to take one? Thank you. And bring me the extras, please. And we're going to sing this song to Haydn's familiar tune to which we sing the hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, Zion City of Our God. And this is the Apostles' Creed in, or one version of it in poetic form. And Brother Frank, it's also the personal pronoun is plural. We believe in God the Father. I like that too. You're not the only one. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's stand as we sing together. Thank you, thank you. You have one?
We believe in God the Father, God Almighty, by whose plan earth and heaven sprang into being. All created things began. We believe in Christ the Savior, Son of God. Like a lamb to slaughter led, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he descended to the dead. We believe in Jesus risen, heaven's King to rule and reign. Till as judge he comes again. We believe in God the Spirit, in one church below, above, saints of God in one communion, one in holiness and love. So by faith our sins forgiven, Christ our Savior, Lord and friend, we shall rise with Him in glory to the life that knows no end. We shall rise with Him in glory to the life that knows no end.
Amen. Let's be seated. Praise the Lord. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. God doesn't want us ever to doubt. So many Christians come to places in their lives where they come under condemnation. By that I mean they wonder if they've sinned too much to be forgiven. But the Bible says so much about forgiveness, that God is a forgiving God. He pardons iniquity. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. When God revealed his name to Moses, that's how he started. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. I should say on one of the occasions where he revealed his name to Moses, he put mercy first, long-suffering, forgiving iniquity and sin. He's abundant in goodness and truth, but he's a forgiving God. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Now, these texts that we look, we'll just look at a few of them tonight, should be soul-stirring for anyone whose sins are forgiven. Why do I say that? Well, think about the alternative. What if your sins were not forgiven? Where would you be? Where would you be if your sins were not forgiven? I don't mean geographically. You probably wouldn't be wanting to be here, or you may want to be here, but I don't mean geographically. I mean, where would you be spiritually? Where would you be if your sins were not forgiven? Anybody have an answer to that? Who said that? I didn't hear what you said. Hell. Well, we're still here on earth, and we haven't experienced the final judgment yet. But in a sense, I say you're right. You'd be far from God. Anybody else? I would like to pick up on that, because that's the direction I was going anyway. We would be lost rather than found. Good. We would be standing under the wrath of God's judgment. And that would be our final destination, right? Because we have sinned against God. So, where would we be if we weren't forgiven? We would be lost. We would have no hope. So, go. In torment. Good. We would be in torment if our sins were not forgiven. Well, if our consciences were awakened to our need of the Savior, and we were like Christian carrying around that load, remember that? That was a load of sin, and it was awful. But it was interesting that there were other people in the city of destruction that didn't even know they were sinners or didn't care that they were sinners. God had somehow awakened his heart. But it's true, he had to get rid of that load. He had to get rid of that load of sin. He knew that, and the only way was to come to the cross, where the burden was loosed from off of his back. And then he was on the road to the celestial city. But let us look into God's word at a few things about forgiveness. I have a new grandson, and his name is Micah. So this comes from the prophet Micah, the last chapter. You knew I was going to pick Micah, didn't you? What does Micah mean anyway? The name Micah. I knew this before my grandson was born. Do you know? Who said that? Oh, thank. Oh, you have a Micah. Yes. Is it a Josiah and a Micah, right? Yeah. Yes. It's like when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? No one like you. And Micah was named that way, and he uses it in this prophecy. I'm sure the Lord gave it to him, but it's nice that he could have a little play on his name right here. And Micah, 7th chapter, 18th verse. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is a wonderful paragraph. God's steadfast love and compassion. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. I had a nice quiz question on Sunday in church. We had a guy there. It was his birthday that day. And it was his 32nd birthday. And so I read the 32nd Psalm without saying which psalm I was reading. And they had to tell me any time before the end of the day, before they went home, what I read and why I read it. I didn't say that it was his 32nd birthday. And I got a few people that figured it out. But you know what's in that psalm. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That means he doesn't count it against him. He doesn't reckon this person as iniquitous. Blessed is that man. In his spirit there is no guile. That is a beautiful statement. There are three words for sin there, and they all have different ideas in them. Transgression, missing the mark, or rotten to the core. That would be iniquity, wouldn't it? Disobedience. Three words for sin. Sin, transgression, and what was the other one? Blessed is the man whose transgression, sin, transgression, iniquity. And then three things that God does with sin. What does God do with sin? Forgives sin, covers sin, and negatively doesn't count it against us. That's tremendous. Just you think about it. You could stop and we could praise the Lord for 45 minutes and you'd want to keep going. Just think of it. All my sins are gone. My sins are gone. I'm forgiven. Does this mean anything? Does it mean anything great to us? I hope so. I hope so. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed, blessed, that's an Old Testament beatitude, isn't it? Psalm 32, and here we have the sea. He casts our sins, Micah says, into the depths of the sea. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I was in one of those staff prayer meetings today, and I've been in quite a few of them this summer. And in some of them, staff members actually pray aloud. I don't know if you knew that we do that sometimes. Today we didn't have too many that led out in prayer. But we're encouraged to do that. So next time we'll maybe do a little better. But someone prayed, it was during the girls' session, that God would bless the girls. She happened to be one of the counselors, and I heard her pray this twice. I don't think she realized that I was there one week and I was there the next week, but it must have been something that was really burning in her heart. Maybe she had dealt with some of the kids. She said, there are some of the girls, oh Lord, you know, I'm assuming this was in an older group, who are troubled by things in their past. They carry around with them a burden of guilt, and they have shame. Lord, help them to understand what you have done for them and what you will do for them. Help them to know that as they come to you, you will forgive their sins. You will wipe out the effects of the past. And you will, Lord, help them to know, she prayed, that their sins are in the, and I loved this, it's something that we sing, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And the next week she prayed that same thing. I think she may not have realized it. She prayed, help them to know that their sins are in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Boy, that's a great, the sea of God's forgetfulness. It's a great line. We kind of sing it rather glibly. I mean, it's a joyful song, but when she prayed that way, I thought about it. Isn't that tremendous? My sins are in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And God chooses to forget all my sins, and He has promised to remember them no more. That's great. In the day of judgment, I can have confidence as I know that my sins are gone. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah chapter 1. A great prophet, the prophet Isaiah, and God was finding fault with his people, and very strongly here in this passage. I have had enough of your sacrifices. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? And God calls his own people here Sodom and Gomorrah. He gives them that name. So wouldn't you say he's speaking rather strongly? I think so. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. God sees his people and he doesn't like what he sees and the way that they are behaving. And he wants to see a change. I hate. Can you imagine if the Lord would say, I hate it when you go to pilgrim camp year after year and you're not changed and you think I'm looking down and I'm all excited and happy because you raise your hands and you come and you praise the Lord for a week and then you go home and live like you always lived. Every year you do the same thing. Sodom and Gomorrah relived here in the 21st century. Can you imagine if God said something like this to us? I wonder what he would say if we had ears to hear. I'm not saying that he would say that, but I'm thinking, as Brother Ernie said, God sees our hearts. He knows all about us. He knows, and he's the one, as we heard, who has the power to change and the mercy and the grace. Look, the reason I read that strong stuff is just to show that it is to people whom the Lord views in this light, it is to them that he says the following: Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He doesn't say, forget about you. He doesn't say that. He says, I want to reason with you. I want to bless you. I want to wash away your sins. I want to make you white as snow. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Thank you, Lord. Who? Yes, you. These people. These people who, I can't stand it. It's all in vain what you're doing, even though you make many prayers. I want to bless you. I want to change you. I want to forgive you. I want to wipe out the remembrance of your sins. Isn't that marvelous mercy? Marvelous mercy of God. So, in the New Covenant promise, God says, I'm not going to remember your sins. And when Jesus was about to go to the cross and celebrating the Last Supper with his disciples, you recall that he held up the cup and he said, this cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant in my blood. And I'm sure you know about the New Covenant, that promise that we read about in Jeremiah 31. And there are wonderful provisions in that New Covenant. But the one that Jesus mentioned, the one that he mentioned there that night when he was about to ratify that covenant that had been promised so many years before through the prophet Jeremiah, the specific blessing of the New Covenant that he mentioned that night was the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins, the most fundamental of all the blessings, the basic blessing of the New Covenant, the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And the other blessings follow from that, the change of heart and the fellowship and communion with God. But it starts right there. I'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. One more page we're looking at yet tonight. And we've already been open to it because Brother Paul and Sister Mary Ann talked about 1 John 1. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So that means every one of us stands in need of forgiveness. Every one of us needs the cleansing of Jesus' precious blood. But when we come and confess our sins, it says he is faithful. This is God's promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God is faithful. God is just. And he forgives and he cleanses. He forgives sin and he cleanses from all unrighteousness. And so we're invited to come to him. In the next chapter, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Our sins are forgiven because that brings God glory. Unto his praise, he forgives iniquity. And we're all little children, aren't we? If we don't become like little children, we won't enter the kingdom. But here, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. We can count on that word. That's a promise that you can count on. I've had to deal with people that have come to church for many years, and they've come into difficulty, and then they feel as though there's a darkness, and I don't know if my sins are forgiven. And I've had to go through these verses with people from time to time, not many, but from time to time. Well, the devil wants us to doubt. But here's a very clear word, a word of God, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. He forgives our sins and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Now, how can we know that to be true? Well, we know God, and we know that God is faithful and just, as it says here. And God is always faithful to His word. He cannot break His word of promise. But He's also faithful to the work of His Son. You know that He has accepted and approved the work of His Son Jesus, the cross work of Jesus. He has proved that. We see that in the Bible. Jesus' sacrifice was accepted by the Father. He was welcomed home, exalted and glorified. The proof we have of that. He was raised from the dead. He is exalted. He has shed forth His Spirit. And we know that Jesus' sacrifice is accepted and that God honors the work of His Son. He is faithful and just. He is faithful to His word. He is faithful to His Son's work. And He will be faithful to you. He has made this promise to you. He'll forgive our transgressions and remember them no more. Your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And that makes all the difference. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow. Hear the voice that entreats you, O return ye unto God. Hear the voice that entreats you, O return ye unto God. He is of great compassion and of wondrous love. Hear the voice that entreats you. Hear the voice that entreats you. O return ye unto God. O return ye unto God. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. Look unto Me, ye people,
saith the Lord your God. He'll forgive your transgressions. He'll forgive your transgressions. And remember them no more. And remember them no more.
I see the time, but I just think it's important to say this, that in our reading, our devotional reading for today, it tells us that it's not just a snap of the finger. I think I'm going to forgive them. You know, it's a free gift. This forgiveness, this mercy, this grace. That's what mercy and grace is. It's free, but it came at high cost. God didn't just say, I think I'll forgive my people. He wanted to forgive his people, yes. That was in his heart. He's merciful. But there was this cost that had to be paid. And Jesus was willing to pay it and lay down his life. He took my place and your place. He took my sin and your sin upon himself so that we might be forgiven, so that the wrath of God would be turned aside from us. He bore the punishment for our sins. And this is important that we don't think that, well, of course God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. If he can save me, he can do anything. Yes, yes. But God cannot. There are some things that he does not do. There's nothing too hard for him to do, but one thing he doesn't do is he does not act out of character. He cannot act out of character. He wouldn't be God anymore. So he has to be just. He has to be righteous, and therefore Jesus had to die. And so we don't take this forgiveness as a light thing, but rather we are very thankful. We are very grateful, and that's why we will sing his praises throughout all eternity. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Praise the Lord. My sins are gone in the sea of God's forgetfulness. But it wasn't just something that just happened. No, not at all. It just shows how much the Lord loves you and me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for pardon. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? Or who has grace so rich and free?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, that you
Hallelujah.
Do. Hallelujah. Thank Hallelujah. You, Jesus, that you do. You pardon.
Hallelujah.
You wash and cleanse
Glory
us from all
Jesus.
Of our sins. Thank you, dear Lord,
Hallelujah.
That you are pardoning us. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God have mercy. Dear Lord Jesus. Impress upon our hearts, Lord Jesus, the truth that we've heard tonight. Lord, help us to understand the awful price that you paid, Lord Jesus, for our sin. to save us, to forgive us, to cleanse us. And Lord, help us, we pray, Lord, to come for that pardoning. Dear Lord, you will abundantly pardon. You will. No condemnation have I in my heart. You took my sins away. Dear Lord, we thank you that if we come to you today, Lord, that you'll take our sins away. And Lord, that you'll wash us and forgive us of all of our iniquity, all of our transgressions. Oh, Lord Jesus, and Lord, just as we are, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for us, Lord, we bid thee come. You bid us come to thee, and O Lamb of God, we come. We come. Lord, at the close of this meeting, we pray, Lord Jesus, that every one of us will just come just as we are. Lord, take us, Jesus, as we are. Cleanse us from all of our sin. Wash us clean through your own precious blood. Every one of us. Every one of us. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your cleansing, Lord. We thank you that you wash us whiter than snow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think many of you know, and if you don't, that verse of the song, Lord, keep my soul. Keep my soul from day to day under the blood. Take doubt and fear and sin or guilt away under the blood. Under your precious blood, and you know the chorus, under the blood, the precious blood, the cleansing, healing flood, keep me, Savior, from day to day. And as we sing that that verse and that chorus, you're dismissed. If you want to go back and need to go to rest, well, the Lord bless you as you go. Consider the price that he paid. And let him continue to wash and to cleanse. And maybe there are those that would just like to sit in his presence and just think about what it was that he did for you. And just present yourself to him and ask him, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, Lord. See if there's anything in me that's not pleasing to you. Lord, you see it all. And Lord, I pray that you'll show me and help me to rid myself of those things. And so whether you go or stay, the Lord bless you. Let's sing that stanza and chorus. Lord, keep my soul from day to day under the blood, under the blood. Take doubt and fear and sin.
Hallelujah, forgive, O Lord Jesus.